And it is an absolute pleasure to have our first guest on today via telephone from Florida. He's a man I've wanted to have on for a long time, especially after the great national championship win of the Ohio State Buckeyes last Monday, 7 days ago, over the Oregon Ducks, and I think you could consider it a blowout, 42-20, go Bucks. He is the former head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's an Ohio legend. He's a broadcaster. He's just about everything you can imagine. Coach Earl Bruce. Coach Bruce, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good to speak with you. After that big national championship win last week, what were you thinking?
Oh, golly. What a high time in our program to win three games back-to-back in a championship march. Our league over Wisconsin, 59-0, and then Alabama, and then the grand one over at Oregon. University of Oregon. I couldn't think of it for a second, but that our team played very well.
You know, Coach Bruce, going in, knowing that we were the fourth seed before Alabama, did you ever think that we were going to win the national title with a quarterback down at that point? Two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I did. I really did. I'll tell you why. I watched Jones play when he first came here. I saw him throw the ball on his knees, 70 yards. I see that he's a runner, and he likes football, and I think he got it finally when he got his chance. He was ready to play, and he did a great job. And he's really a good player. And I listened to him when he announced he wasn't turning pro. He's going to return and get his education. Sound like he's matured, and that's what he needed all along—a little maturity and a little, because he had ability. He just needed to get everything right for him, and it came out perfect. He was a good leader for our football team in the games. He showed the way. He threw the ball exceptionally well. And when he ran it, I say this, he's 6'5". If he just falls forward from the line of scrimmage, we may gain four yards. So what the heck? He's a runner, and he was a significant player in all three of the games. And that was good.
Coach, being that Braxton Miller was hurt before we ever played a down this year, and we go on to win a national championship, how bittersweet do you think that this season has been for him?
Oh, he's had I'm sure he's had a long season. I mean, to see your teammates go to the national title and you're not a part of it because of injury, that's a significant hurt. But he had a mature, and he's going to finish his education and be a Buckeye for him.
So you think, here's the question, Coach. Who is going to be the first-string quarterback next year?
Oh, that's quite a question. I don't know. The one that stays healthy. After all, we got two that are have very bad injuries, one to his shoulder, he's got to come back from and be able to play, pass the football at the quarterback position, and also run and take a hit. There's a lot of, and then the other one was a leg injury that's very significant also. But I hope by then they'll be on the mend and be able to go and participate, because it's going to be another great year for Buckeye football. And I don't know what you do with three quarters. I'm glad we have that problem. I'm not the one that I have to solve that problem. So I'm going to sit and watch and look and see how it all travels down the road. But I think it's a great problem to have with three really top-notch quarterbacks in bold, and both all wanting to play a lot of football.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello? Yeah, I'm still with you. Absolutely, it is a great problem to have. But being that you were the head coach, and you still stay very active in Ohio State sports and your broadcasting career down in Columbus, if you had to make the decision, what would you make? What, in your opinion, Coach Earl Bruce's opinion, who would you have starting next year?
Well, it doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter about that. It's a matter who comes to the top as the quarterback problem. If you're going to make your mind up ahead of time and say, oh, this kid's going to be the starter, that won't be fair to the other two. I don't think that's significant in coaching. I think who is going to do it, or how many are going to do it, or whatever transpires on the football field will make a decision. And it might change. It might change, goodness gracious sakes, on how a guy performs. No one knows now of the three quarterbacks which one's going to be the best next year. If that would be, you would be making decisions today about things that you haven't even practiced for. And that can't happen in football.
I think
you have the competition and see who wins the competition.
I think that's a fair answer. But let me say this, Coach Bruce. The decision at some point will be made. And when that decision is made, do you think the two gentlemen who do not get the spot will stay at Ohio State?
You know, Scott, you're just like everybody else in Columbus, Ohio. You want someone to tell you answers to questions that can't be done, and you want decisions now that can't be made. And no one can do that. And that's Columbus. That's what makes it so damn good. We've got some people that love to have controversy about football at Ohio State. It's always, they've done it since Woody Hayes. They did it since Earl Bruce and John Cooper. And they've done it forever. And they don't sit back and relish the significance of how great the football is. And a lot of them really, I think, look for problems. You just got to solve those as you go. And you know what? None of those people could solve those problems. They can't. You can't make those predictions. Any sports writer in the world is just a writer. You understand? He doesn't know enough about the game. It happens on the football field. And who knows that? You can't be a magician and say, this is going to happen in football or that's going to happen in football. I'll give you the one. No one thought that our football team would win the national title when we started against Wisconsin. They thought we were going to lose to Wisconsin. They thought we were going to lose to Alabama. They thought we were going to lose to Oregon. Very few thought we had an opportunity to win the national title. There are those that believe that that can happen, and there were. And that's great. That's what makes football so exciting. You can't say this is going to happen or that's going to happen. I'll bet you down in Alabama, I heard them all talking about how weak the Big Ten is, how weak it is and how it is. I mean, how do they know? I look at it now, the SEC's a weak conference. God almighty, they played trash in that league. Or you go to the Pacific Coast and Oregon, trash in Oregon. They didn't win anything. They weren't physical enough to win anything. I'll tell you what, our guys were physical and ready to win, and they won it. And if God bless them, they played their heart out to do it.
Absolutely. And I think in Ohio we do relish this victory. I think just we're always looking ahead.
I'm talking before the game. I'm talking before the game. They didn't think we had a chance. And they but deep down, and I know what they thought afterwards. Yeah, everybody knows afterwards who wins. It's before the game. How do they feel? I mean, they're question mark. But I think it's great that we won the national title. But it's a great thing because they really worked hard to improve after we played Virginia Tech. They worked hard to improve themselves and gain it. And I saw that, and people saw that improvement. And you saw it in the kids in the play that they did and how they put out. Oh, we had a stumbling block here and there. In football, you do. And you got to get through that stumbling block so that you win the game. And we did that. And we went to, overtime at one time and won the game. It's a great game. It's a you can't decide because there's so much who's going to play that day? What team's going to show up to play that day, and how are they going to play? How together they get? They were really humming as a team, as a football team after we played the league championship game. But boy, what growth they had! No one could have predicted that growth probably, or projected it. Anyone that watched a team in practice and saw what was going on and doing that, they would feel what a good job the coaching staff was going. The coaching staff and the young players meshed, and now we got an opportunity to come back with a real powerhouse football team next year and open the season. And the challenge is to face the teams that we're going to play and have victory every time. That's really a challenge, because now you're the target that they want to knock down.
Absolutely, and I think Ohio State certainly is in that position. Do you think the media has treated Ohio State fairly?
Absolutely. I don't think they've ever mistreated them. They haven't always thought that they were going to win, I bet, but what can you say? I think when you start to win, you get a bandwagon going, and there's people that start to come over and say, hey, man, what an opportunity. And when you look at it, that's why the Buckeye Nation is so good. And look at the games we went to. What was 70% of the stadium against Oregon was Buckeyes. 60% against Alabama was probably Buckeyes. And when you go to the league championship, it was even greater than that probably. But that's what we do. We do support the Buckeyes. There's no doubt about that.
When you came in as head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, you came in at an interesting time, Coach Woody Hayes being let go from the university. With the press and everything swirling at that time, how hard was it for you to take over from that great man?
Not hard at all. Not hard at all, because he didn't make it hard. He made it easy. He supported me all the way through my career of 9 years, and he passed away my last year. Some said if he lived, I probably wouldn't have been fired. I don't know about that at all, but I want to tell you something. He's the most loyal person in the world and the most wonderful guy to talk to about the game of football. But he was a tough guy, and he was a tough for the people. Some didn't understand Coach Hayes. He made me what I was, because he brought me back when I left school and was going to stay in Cumberland, Maryland, and maybe go to school someplace else and not come back to Ohio State when I lost my knee. But that being said, he called and said, come back. I want you to coach football and help coach the football team. So I went back, and many years later, I became the head football coach to replace him. Nor did anyone ever realize that would happen, you know, me included.
After you were made head coach, when was the first time you spoke with Coach Hayes, and what did he have to say?
I spoke to Coach Hayes the night I accepted the job. He called me on the telephone, and he said, I'm going to be around, and I'm very much interested in the program. I'm not going to bother you. And he thought coming around the first year was not good. We finally convinced him, especially a couple of his friends and my friends, to come back to the program. And he called me several times and came back to football and was at the games and did a lot of good things. He's an exceptional man.
You know, Coach Bruce, it's very interesting, because we know why Woody Hayes was let go with the incident with the player. John Cooper, I think, accepts the idea that beating Michigan was a big problem, and that's why he might have been let go. We certainly know what happened with Jim Tressel. That was national news, and now we're on to Urban Meyer. A lot of people say, why was Coach Bruce let go? He was a great coach. He was winning. He was good. Do you have a reason for why you didn't have a longer tenure? Did you want to have a longer tenure?
Well, yeah, but I got to tell you, there's something about, I guess I could say, what, it was a political thing and nothing else. It was and involved the president of the university and downtown. But that's been here for a long time. And if you look at it, every coach that's ever played here since been in charge since, let's say, before Woody Hayes, after Paul Brown. Paul Brown never got a chance to come back because he wanted a job. He was then at the Browns in Cleveland, and he was going to interview for this job. He had a token interview, and that was the end of it. But he wanted a job back. He didn't get it. He went to the service, and that's how he lost his job. But most coaches since that time have been fired. That seems to be a thing. And it normally was because if they lost three times to Michigan in a row, they were fired. Woody said that. I said that. I'm one coach that got fired that didn't lose to Michigan three times in a row, but I was still fired. And so when you look at that, John really lost to Michigan more than three times. So that's something else. But that being said, he wasn't fired, but because of losing to Michigan, I don't think because he was, what could they say? They fire him three times. They would have fired him a lot earlier. So he did go through that a couple times, but didn't get fired. So that's what they say fired him. I don't know that. I don't know what fired John. The people that wanted to make a change, I guess. I don't know. And I don't really care. I think it was horrible that anybody's fired in their job.
Do you think we gave Coach Tressel a fair shake?
You're talking to Earl Bruce?
Yeah, talking from Earl Bruce.
I think Coach Tressel did more for this program than any other coach ever in the history of the school. That's my thought. And I've been there. I was there all the years he was there. I mean, when he did more for the program than anybody I know directed at it. And I can't say that his crime should have ended in. It should have been a slap in the hands and a talk to and get up and get the job done. Too many times we jump at firing coaches for different things and different reasons. And I just can't, I couldn't understand. There was no reason to fire Jim Tressel, in my opinion. But I don't know. I guess someone would say, well, you don't know everything. Well, I know a hell of a lot. And I think Tressel is a great man. He's president of the university now, so I know one thing. His dad will be right happy about him because he's a success no matter what. If he's not a football coach, president of the university would be the next best job for him.
Do you have any regrets as you look back on your career?
No regrets. I love the game of football. I love the players I coached. I enjoyed football. I enjoyed it so much I even continued to coach arena football, which was a nice little game I came into afterwards that I thought a lot of, but they destroyed that game, I guess. But it was coming just at the high point when I was in it after I left college football. But that being said, I do like the game of football. I like coaching kids. And I particularly love college football. But I had more success in high school coaching than anything. And I love high school coaching because that's where it's simple. You don't recruit. You coach the kids you have in your district, and you make winners out of them.
Is there anything at this age and stage that you still want to do?
No, I'm watching good football now. I think it's reached a peak as far as the playoffs are concerned. I wasn't in high school football when they had playoffs, and I wasn't in college football when they had playoffs. They had the polls and determined. national championship by one game between two schools that they called it the championship game, if there was one. Otherwise, someone won it by the polls. That being said, I think high school and college football have really moved ahead in the right light now, and I hope it continues to be a success.
You know, Coach Bruce, a gentleman who I'm sure you became very close with was your quarterback for several years, Art Schliester, and certainly, unfortunately, his life has not went as well as maybe it could have gone. When you look back at his life at this point, and it's certainly not over, what do you say about Art Schliester?
His life is over.
It's
his
over.
Life is over. His life is over. He's going to spend a lot of it in jail. But that being said, he had opportunities and he didn't take care of them. He was something that I would say bad about. I would say he's a liar. Because many times he thought he was on the road to recovery, and he wasn't, and he didn't do anything. He hurt a lot of people, and that's a shame. Hurt a lot of people and took advantage of a lot of people, and he's not worthy to talk about. I tried a few times to help him. I stepped up for him, and it didn't turn out. And I'm a little to say, I'm not to throw him. I hope a lot of great things could happen for the young man, but he'd have to do that for himself because he doesn't seem to, when he gets outside, he doesn't know how to live.
When something like that happens, because we're never sure how close the player and the coach are, how does that personally affect the coach?
Well, I thought I did all I could do for him, and it wasn't successful. And I feel bad about some of the things of even trying, but I gave that a great effort, but that wasn't to be, not with Art. He had too many things against him, and that was sad. Had a great mother, and then it stopped, and that hurt him, I think. But that being said, God bless whatever happens. I don't want to. I hate to throw stones at people when they're hurt, and he's hurt.
Absolutely, Coach Bruce. How good is Urban Meyer?
How good? Well, I went to Bowling Green. I told Bowling Green he'd be the best coach ever to come by Bowling Green, and then he's the best coach to come by Utah, and then he's the best coach to come by Florida, and then he's up here now. He's going to prove he's the best coach here. So what the hell are we talking about? He's a great coach, and he's done great things. His record speaks for itself. My God, how could a guy have any better record than he has? I mean, he has a record of achievement. He wins football games. He's a great recruiter. He has great knowledge, and he really knows how to teach kids the game of football and get them to work hard. Gives them the thing, you know, the nice thing, he gives them the things that make for a good football player: toughness, discipline, leadership, confidence. He brings them together as a team. He does good things on and off the field. What more do you want out of a guy? Now, that being said, by the history of Ohio State, look out. But it's the greatest place in the world to coach. I know that. And so does he. And that's why he's here.
Why is it the greatest place to coach?
Well, really, we've got the greatest people. They are demanding, but they really recognize good play, and they're very supportive. I just told you the great crowds we've had, the great support that we get from the people that are, and they support not only that, they support the school. I mean, this is a great school. I'm one of the few football coaches at Ohio State that ever graduated from this institution. The only one other I know is the one that I played for here. They got fired too before that time. And he was a great, great coach, Wes Fessler, and a great player here, a three-time All-American. I mean, there's no one I think could punt like he could punt like this kid is punting for us now. He could call us bounce where it was going to hit the ground and bounce which way. But he was exceptional as a man, too. And he not only coached here, he coached in Minnesota and Pittsburgh that I know of. And he was just a great, great, great person.
You know, Coach Bruce, you certainly are the elder statesman now at these games. When you and Coach Cooper and Coach Meyer get together at these games, what's it like to go back and visit with Coach Cooper and just be there?
Well, I like to visit with all of our guys. Ron, it's great that we have that, to be with Coach Cooper and the coaches that are around here. Woody was a good one. He's a little different on a lot of different things, but he taught me toughness and discipline also. And he was a real taskmaster as far as football is concerned. And had many good beliefs about the game and how you won that he put in that were outstanding for a while. I think what coach is able to do more than anything else is Coach Myers is able to do more than anyone else is he's now getting more out of every player. He seems to got the way to be disciplined and teach football and the great things I just told you that they come off the field with. But they're really developed into quite a unit here. I mean, he's able to touch these guys more than anybody he's coached probably, because he really eats and drinks and does all the same things as the players, because he is from here. He is from Ohio, and he is really into it.
Before I let you go, Coach Bruce, so many of us heard the news in the last couple of years, of course, that your wife of so many years passed away. And just how are you doing? How's life? How are things going?
Well, things are a little older now. yeah, as you get older, some things happen. I'm 83 years old, and things happen. I mean, it's not the same as when you're 22. I came here when I was 18, and I remember sometimes I look back and I say, how in the hell did I ever survive? But I did.
You absolutely did. And 100 years from now, when people look back on Coach Bruce, because we look back on all the Ohio State coaches, how do you think they'll look back on you? What's the epitaph on Earl Bruce going to read?
Oh, I don't have any idea. I will just tell you what I think, and I just care about the great, great experiences I've had with players and coaches. I mean, I've not only had some really great players, but I've had some great, 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 great coaches. I mean, I've had and in high school I had great coaches. It's hard to believe that. But don't ever want to think that it's you alone doing anything, because you're not. You have good coaches that I've depended on throughout my career as to what would be done. They got the job done, and they really worked at it. And we enjoyed it all together. We had our laughs, and we had our ups and downs, but we held together. And that's a true sign of what it's all about. And the friendships that I've had in towns. I've coached in four of the cities in Ohio for high school football: Mansfield, Salem, Sandusky, and Maslin. And I have friends in all of them that I really admire. And I think Columbus too, probably, because that's the next place I coached in Ohio. And Columbus, Ohio is Ohio State. God, I have great friends. Even president of G Jennings, who was in there in 87, doesn't know how many friends I have in Columbus, Ohio, because I had a lot of them. I mean, I have a lot of good friends in Columbus, Ohio. And some of the things, when you get fired, you're they're enemies or something. No, not the good people. They're there. They're there for you and with you. And I'm kind of proud to be a member of the band, an honorary member of the band. And I really appreciated them when they came to my place and played in the night that it happened. But I have to tell you something, the band is tremendous. That's one function that I really think is another great history of Ohio State University, the band.
Coach Bruce, I have to ask you, because you just said that, what did you make of the whole incident with John Waters?
I don't want to talk about that. That's a sad incident. I don't have privy to everything. But I think that too many times, I tell you again, we act and fire people in Columbus, Ohio, or in football that should have been a slap on their wrist. It's like, I don't want to talk politics or anything, but it's like the Penn State incident. They're giving back now all the stuff to Penn State that they took away from them. They took some games away. They gave them back. They gave, what they need to do is give that $60 million back to them. Then I'll know that really means something.
You know, Coach Bruce, before I let you go, I have one parting question. People have said over the years that you're a curmudgeon. You're and they love you, but a bit of a cranky guy. Do you see yourself as a curmudgeon or just an honest guy?
Well, I have a bad habit. I like to say it the way it is, and they don't like that always. I mean, some people don't like that. They don't like to hear a direct answer, but some do. A lot of people come up to me and say, I like it because you tell it the way it is. Well, that's me.
Well, and I have to say, I like it because you tell it the way it is. Coach Bruce, this has been an absolute pleasure. I cannot thank you enough for sparing some moments for us today. You are a legend.
Throw it all away after you send it one time. Throw it all away and build for the next guy that you're going to do for, because I love Columbus, Ohio, and I love this country, and I love Ohio State. I love the city of Columbus, and I just think it's just fine.
Coach Bruce, I hope you come back with us in the future. You stay well.
Okay, good for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Steve. Thanks for calling.
Coach Earl Bruce, former head coach of the Ohio State